In early December, the world will again sit down under the banner of the UN to continue negotiations on crafting a new global climate deal. It's a foregone conclusion that the meeting in Durban will not produce a new climate treaty. And one of the big stumbling blocks is finance, with a question mark over commitments by developed nations to stump up $100 billion every year by 2020 for climate change mitigation and adaptation policies in poorer countries. A new report from the ANU says Australia's contribution to this global effort should be around $2.4 billion. Dr. Benito Mueller is Director of Energy and Climate Change at the Oxford Institute for Energy Studies. Benito Mueller, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you very much.
Before we look at some of the specifics from this Australian report, can we take a look at what has been promised and delivered so far by the international community on climate finance?
Well, in Copenhagen, the international community basically established a green climate fund, and it promised to mobilize up to $100 billion annually by 2020. And it also promised $30 billion fast start in US dollars for the 3 years 2009 to 2011.
And how's that going?
Well, the fast start has been a bit bumpy, shall we say, because it was actually meant to be new and additional, that is to say, over and above aid. But in most cases, it hasn't been. And also, there was a significant proportion of loans, which was not meant to be the case. So it has been a bumpy ride. Not everyone is very happy about it.
Can you just remind us what this money, the fast start money, and then the longer term, you know, $100 billion a year by 2020, what that's for?
Well, it's to help developing countries to take action against climate change, both in reducing emissions, but also in adapting to the adverse effects of climate change, the impacts.
So, for instance, small Pacific Island countries who might feel the impact of rising sea levels early, some of this money would help them, what, relocate?
For example, yes. I mean, the trouble with the small island states is they cannot really adapt. When the sea level rises, there's very little one can do. They really rely on us to reduce emissions, but it would help them to relocate and to take measures as far as they can.
So the $100 billion pledged at Copenhagen, there's still dispute over whether that's enough. Many, many countries are saying the cost is more likely to be between $500 and $600 billion, the need.
It's definitely not enough, but it's certainly much more than what has happened so far. I mean, when we had the regime almost collapsing after President Bush withdrew from the Kyoto Protocol in 2000, we established two small funds, the Least Developed Countries Fund and the Special Climate Change Fund, and for the 10 years they have been in existence, they're basically empty.
How much is a sticking point is this fund, this financing, going to be at the Durban conference and beyond? Because the developing world is...
It's rather going to be a big sticking point. I mean, we had the transitional committee for this last year designing this fund, and Australia played a major role by one of the vice chairs coming from Australia. But unfortunately, the last meeting in Cape Town, in the end, the United States and the Saudis rejected the design, and it's now put forward to Durban, which was not meant to be the case. It was meant to be that the design document, is finished and just sent for approval. The other thing is that there is so far no startup pledges for this fund. And, you know, I've told you about the small funds. But the difference between a small empty fund and a big empty fund is that with a big empty fund, there's even more disappointment.
Yes, a big empty fund, and particularly feeds into that the feeling that already that the developing world thinks that the rich world just doesn't care. It's done the damage and doesn't care. Next week, the leaders of the G20 countries will meet in Cannes in France. Are they likely, are they being pressed to look at sources of climate finance? There's talk of a global financial transaction tax.
I think the French are trying to put it into the frame, but I'm not sure how successful they will be.
Here in Australia, this report that's been produced suggests a number of ways Australia could raise the $2.4 billion annually for climate mitigation and adaptation in developing countries. How we might do that. Pretty controversial ideas being raised. One option flagged is a carbon levy on international air travel and shipping into Australia. Now, that's being raised at a time when we're already talking about a carbon tax. This would be a levy on top of that tax.
Well, I mean, it's international air traffic, which is not actually covered, I think, by the Australian levy. So it is the international transport sector is so far basically exempt from the whole climate change regime. And it's not just Australia which has been looking at. We know that the EU, for example, has put, I mean, it's part of EU law that flights into the EU will have to be a part of a cap and trade regime.
So in the midst of global economic uncertainty, though, is there any sort of global enthusiasm for a levy, an extra levy like this for climate change?
Never enthusiasm for that, but my view is at some point countries will have to get serious about this, and we have great pressures on domestic budgets. So it's very unlikely in my mind that we can get the sort of money which we're talking about and which we need to get that from the national budgets. So these sort of levies, which are treated off budget and which are directly levied from the consumer, are much more likely to be successful than trying to get money from the budget which competes with education and health.
So just before I let you go, is any country leading the charge on this with action, with levies or some kind of coal export?
The EU, which is now actually, there's a law in the US which is trying to sort of go against the EU ETS in this context, but the EU it is in law in European Union that airlines who fly to the EU as of 1st of January next year will have to be part of their emission trading scheme, and money from that will be going to developing countries, not exclusively, but some of it will be going to developing countries.
Okay, Benito Müller, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Benito Müller is Director of Energy and Climate Change at the Oxford Institute for Energy Studies. It's 6:26.